W8RUH from W8RCY.
What's up, Donald?
Westbound 696 at the corner, there's a bad accident. I got the tracks of a copter fluttering overhead and it woke me up. I looked out the window, checked the news. So I don't know if you're in that area yet or past that area.
I am actually about to drive in front of your place, turning down to Quinder off of 11 Mile right now. I appreciate the heads up. I actually also just heard the helicopter. So it's ironic timing. Thank you so much for looking out.
Well, I apologize because I'm usually up and about at 5 o'clock in the morning and I slept in. And it's the helicopter that actually woke me up. I thought it was maybe a helicopter for the hospital. But it was hovering, and I said, no, that's not one for the hospital. And I looked out the window. It was, like, right over the hospital, right off my balcony. So then I grabbed my radio and grabbed my scanner, and I hear it's there at westbound 696 at the corner. So I tried, even though I'm a little bit, you know, behind, you know, your time on it. Glad you got out of there okay and out of the area okay. And you know, you can wave as you drive by or flip me off. It doesn't matter. I'm still in bed horizontal.
Yeah, most days I get off at 11 Mile just because of the traffic with all the construction. It gets real wonky in there, and I just get off at 11 Mile. Usually take the Quinder to 12 or 13, and then over to Stevenson.
Well, that's good. All right, alrighty then. I will let you continue on your way. Again, I apologize for running a little late on this. Like I said, this is not normal for me. I'm usually up and have coffee going, so I must have really been tired. All right, well, have safe travels the rest of the way and the rest of the day, and we'll catch you on the ride home. All the best to you, W8RCY.
All right, thanks, Donald. Have a good day, and thanks for thinking of me when you saw that that accident. Could have been in a real jam if I got stuck in it. So have a good day. KU8RUH.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'll never understand how people get in car accidents on a highway that goes one direction.
Oh, but you do, Dakota. You know exactly how.
It's the same thing in racing.
Right, but in racing, at least there's an objective to be in first place. Commuting, it's don't be an idiot and you won't get in an accident. I do not miss that drive. I was just thinking that when Donald was talking about 696. As some dipshit flies past me doing about 100. I don't miss that drive at all. 94, 696, 96. That was every day. It was a white knuckle. Like, oh, someone's going to hit me. Especially when I was driving that little Trailblazer that was about the size of a roller skate.
Well, then you got to consider that everybody also needs to scroll TikTok while driving 100 miles an hour.
Oh, I grew up watching I-94 get built from 8 Mile out to Port Huron and 696 from 94 out to the west. And I remember when they first opened up 696 there at 94 and heading west. I don't know if people knew the speed limit was either 69 or 96. They were flying back then. That was like 40 years ago because my oldest daughter was born. It opened up just in time to get us to the hospital from 11 and Grossbeck to St. John's down in Detroit.
My mom was telling me the other day that some study came out in Michigan and the average speed is like 86 miles an hour or something crazy.
That's pretty fast, and I believe it, man. You drive 696 or even 94 down in the city, and everybody, you know, speed limit's 55 down there, and everybody's going 90, 100. It's insane.
As I've mentioned many a times, I don't normally drive, but when I do drive, I noticed one big thing about 696 since the rebuild. What was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they demolished it and rebuilt it? That freeway has a slick surface to it, and a couple of things I noticed is don't run cruise control on it, and the other one was if any, you know, humidity is in the air or dampness in the air, and like in these conditions, it can get slick really, really quick. Another thing I'm learning is, or I've heard recently, is they closed freeways to put some kind of surface on it. Now, what that, you know, it's a sealer or something that they put on certain parts of these roads, and that sealer, in my opinion, that takes away traction, and, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, 696 is not the same as it was when it first opened, for sure. It's smoother, but it's not safer.
We're at the point of a society where it doesn't matter what they do to the highways. It's 1,000% the people behind the wheel when the vast majority of them have room temperature IQ and can barely do one thing at a time, let alone be on a phone and drive. So I think that's our biggest issue. That's the main reason we traded in my wife's, not small SUV, but traded in for a full-size truck, because just by us there were two fatalities in the last, like, 2 months. And there's just constant accidents, so it's the world we live in. People are just complete idiots.
You know what I've seen more and more of that's interesting is rollover accidents on surface streets. Like, with a speed limit of, like, 25, 30, 35 miles an hour, people are figuring out how to roll their cars over. And I don't understand it. I don't understand the science behind it. It's insane.
One thing I've noticed about these smaller SUVs is that they're top heavy. They just sit high. And some of these SUVs that I've rented and driven over the last few years, I've noticed that. And they can very easily, if you know, it's like, you know, it's just like high siding a motorcycle, you know, you just cut it too fast and the next thing you know, you're a flapjack on the bike and you go flying. And it's almost like that with these SUVs. They're just short wheelbase and you take a turn or whether you make the turn or you're forced to make the turn or an accident causes a sharp turn, they flip. And it's kind of like that with a race car. That's why I got that theory.
Wonder if anybody ever rolled a town car. How'd it get so late? I'm sitting next to a Lincoln town car, an old one from like the 80s, 90s. Low and long and wide. Wonder if anybody ever rolled one of those, Anthony?
You know, for a long time, and I semi-recently sold it, I had a 84 Lincoln Continental that lived in my garage. It was under 50,000 miles. It was my grandfather's car. I'm fairly certain you cannot roll those. Not that I ever tried, but they drove like a boat, and you couldn't corner fast enough in them to turn them over.
Oh, to have one of those land yachts today, holy smokes, I think under 50,000, that's a sin. I would have tried to have kept that one. But yeah, Sean is absolutely right, and I've been around a lot of big cars, and like you say, like Sean said, I have a passion for the early 60s Lincoln Continental with the suicide door. I had the money to invest in one of those classics. I'd own one for sure. But, yeah, I don't recall ever seeing one ever truly, you know, even up on its side. Those things were definitely tanks and land, what they used to call land yachts for sure. Dakota, are you back?
I'm back after I just picked my radio up off the floor. 23 and 53, some words, just came right on the highway. I was doing about 75 right on the left lane. I had to lock up my brakes. So, per our conversation, people are complete idiots.
I hate when that happens. Oh, man. Anyhow, well, Donald, that's what you ought to look for when you get back to driving. You got to find, you know, go and get yourself that Continental 60s with the suicide doors. Do it. That'd be styling for where you got to go. Come pulling up in that bad boy. Oh, yeah. And Dakota, I'm rolling. I got the amp, but I, for the life of me, I've got exactly one right angle BNC connector, and it's the one I use with my 705. I could not find a second one anywhere. I know I've got other ones at work, but nothing with me, unfortunately.
Hey, guys, I am headed into the office. I will catch up with you gentlemen later. I will try to hop back onto the phone app and jump back into the conversation if I can. This is KEARUH, and everybody have a great morning, and hopefully I'll catch you in the afternoon.
Okay, Anthony, have a great day. Again, I'm sorry about the timing that you were already past that point, I will try not to sleep in as much as I did today. Holy smokes. Yeah, speaking of land yachts, holy cow, yeah, that the early 60s Lincoln Continental is my dream car to have, but I cannot, I mean, they're very hard to find, and, you know, they're well over $60,000, $80,000 if you can find one. There's a place somewhere in Detroit that's called Lincoln Detroit or Detroit Lincoln, and it's a shop that brings those cars back to life, and, yeah, that's the car to have. Second car I would have is my 76 Camaro. That was my first new car. And if I could get one of those back and I had the money, you know, it's all about the money, obviously. I could find one and have a guy like Chip Foose on overhaul and restore it. Oh, my gosh, to have my 76 Camaro back. Yeah, that would be the car I would really want to have. Sean? Oh, wait, Dakota, I'm sorry, Scott, he's back.
It's all good, Sean. If you find one, let me know. If not, I'll just order one today. I just got on the haul road here, so take your time. But no rush. It's my last full week for the next two, and I could not be happier.
Okay, there you go. Well, this is my first day back to work this week. And I may take off tomorrow, but yeah, I'm sure I'll have one. So we'll just have to connect. That's the problem. If I have one, whether we can connect today or not, I don't know. We'll see. I have not hit Hall Road yet, so got a little just up ahead here. So I don't know how far ahead of me you are. We wanted to do a drive-by today just for the amp. Or we wanted to wait until I got both.
Dakota, go ahead and respond. I'm checking the weather for dawn this weekend again.
It doesn't matter either way. If you want to hook up with the amp, I still got to order that cable too, so it really doesn't matter.
Okay, we'll see what your situation is as I drive by. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I was also going to check and see if I had that cable you were looking for. So I'll dig around once I get to the shop.
like I said before, Michigan weather, it changes in 5 minutes. Thursday, 51 and sunny. Friday, 55 and partly cloudy. Saturday, 61 degrees, p.m. showers. Sunday, partly cloudy, 45.
What's Saturday and Sunday?
Showing 61 degrees on Saturday with p.m. showers. Sunday, partly cloudy, 45, and 5% chance of rain.
Well, Thursday is the one I'm looking for. My son is, he gets Wednesdays and Thursdays off, and he said he'd help me with a couple of end of year yard things on Thursday. So hopefully Thursday's decent. It's sunny and dry. I'm not too worried about dry, really. If it's dry and then 50, we'll be fine.
Are you going to set up?
Well, then we should be pretty much all set then. I got some stuff I got to do. I'm going to try to do it on Friday and Saturday after breakfast. It's not really giving me, this is just, you know, basic headline stuff. I think it's kind of like the graph that I sent you last night in the message. Yeah, it just says PM showers. It doesn't say what time yet. I have to go to a different set of screens to look for that. But Thursday should be good. 51, sunny, 5% chance of rain, which is nothing.
So, yeah, no, not really planning on the antennas. Not saying I won't, but not planning on those. I got mostly it's getting the tractor and the snowblower and a couple other things around the yard to take care of. I don't know, if there's time to monkey with the antennas, perhaps, we'll see. But that's not really the goal. Oh, people that put Christmas lights on their vehicles. Those are the ones we want to roll over.
I second that.
I'll drink to that. I'll drink coffee right now. that and the garland all over the roof rails and such. They make the whole top of their car look like a moving Christmas tree. However that thing got started, always like makes me scratch my head.
Well, this is some sort of a Jeep, and it's got the spare tire on the back, all decorated in Christmas lights.
I would have 10 out of 10 times guessed that it was a Jeep when you said that.
With our stupid ducks.
Ducks
thing that I don't ever want to understand.
Got some kind of crossing going on?
Double bubble.
All right, Sean, I'm backed in, so if you want to swing in, that's cool. If not, no big deal.
Well, let's see here. I am just coming up on Van Dyke Freeway. So I don't know how long you'd have to, what's it take from here? 5?
Yeah, probably 5 to 8 minutes. I can hang out.
Okay, you don't need to get in, and I'll swing through. But I'll leave it up to you. It's not a big deal to me either way.
Nope, I can wait. That's fine. I can't remember what I was going to do with that amp. I was in the middle of something, and I'm like, I need an amp. I think it was probably repeaters. There's a couple that I struggled to get into. 10 watts is not anything.
Hey, I don't know. I just know that you've inquired, so it's up to you. Not a big deal. I think it's brand new in the box. I don't think it's ever been used unless you pulled it out and used it. But it looks as new. So I saw it online. It's I don't know if it's a Top Tech clone or what. I don't even know. But I found it online.
No, I never got around to trying it because I didn't have the damn connector. But I'll if you don't have one, I'll order one and get that thing up. I fixed my power supply. I put a whip out the back that were just terminals. So I have four power poles coming out the front now, plus the two on the amp, or on the power supply. So I have a VHF amp. I'll have a UHF amp. I've got a HF tuner. I just need to get an HF amp, and then I'll be set. I'll have a little modular station. I can do all the things. And then I just found out last night that I got a lower. It's not going to happen this year because I don't really care. Kind of regret buying a 6-meter vertical, honestly. I'm not going to do it this year, but my SWR is like 2.5 at like repeater frequencies on 6 meters, so I don't know what the hell happened there. So I got to lower that down and retune that. So all kinds of crap I got to do.
I'm here. I'm just fumbling around the kitchen getting coffee going. All right, I just switched over to the UMP. Where am I at here? Garfield. So I am pretty close.
I am in my usual spot, just in a black truck instead of a white one.
Hey, Sean, how's parking been at your place? Did they finally get that under control, or... you still got to fight for spots.
Well, they got the construction guys out of our area, but because it's a marking snafu, there's a little congestion up in the area that we need to park in. So I got a hold of the people that told them, I said, these are for you. Those are for me, and all those over there are for them. And hopefully everybody got the memo. So, it's been okay. We'll see this morning. You know, and then one morning I pull in, and the thing's just loaded with all sorts of cars that are neither, you know, any of the ones that are supposed to be there. And I looked at some sort of architectural meeting. You know, they're not the normal people. They're all at the construction site. So these have been a whole boatload of architectural people that have no idea about the problems in the new parking rules. So, we'll see. We'll see how it is this morning.
So even though some of the problems have been solved, it's not completely solved, and every day is still surprisingly new and different. What a way to start your day, for sure. Never boring and sane, like Dakota. It sounds like poor Dakota, all he does is back into his, what he said over the radio, is his spot, and, he'll patiently wait for you to get there. But I could just imagine parking chaos is for sure in those kind of environments and, you know, working campuses, so on and so forth. So as I fumble around the kitchen, I'm going to just check out now and let you guys finish up the business you have to. I grabbed a radio real quick, turned on the node real quick, and tried to get in touch with Anthony as quickly as I could, but he was already, he already was kind of aware about the situation and practically about ready to drive by my place. And yeah. Usually the earliest guy that's awake and on these things is usually me, because I hear the guys over in Livonia talking as well. And this morning I just totally blew it. So, all right, I'm going to continue to fumble. Gentlemen, have a great day. will be listening throughout the day. W8RCY.
All right, well, Dakota and I just did the handoff, so he's probably got to get in the side. I got a couple of minutes before I get to work. Maybe try to find a coffee, I'm not sure.
Yep, I'm going to jump out and get my day going. I got to go calibrate a video wall. So I will catch y'all this afternoon at 8 p.m.
Oh, man, I feel, I don't know, out of sorts this morning. Like tired. I didn't feel like coffee this morning. Go figure.
Well, a four-day weekend will make you discombobulated. It does me. It's done that, my whole life. I mean, there are times when I was racing a lot more, and I would actually step off the plane and go right straight to work at Verizon, and my boss just looks at me and he goes, you got the wrong shirt on. I says, I got one in my locker. Give me 5 minutes. I'll be there. He says, you just get back? I said, yeah, I'm coming straight from the airport. He goes, you're insane. And I said, nah, this is normal for me. Many a times I used to do that kind of crazy stuff. And all I did was basically change shirts from a FedEx-sponsored cart shirt for IndyCar into my Verizon-embroidered work shirt. So, yeah, I just couldn't find a phone booth to change.
Well, there you go. I've never had such a situation. I've had times where I've had to have a different set of clothes in my one job, like meeting clothes, have to work in the field clothes, so you bring the meeting clothes and change into those after you're out in the field. But not too often. Ah, man, I keep a shirt at work. Like, I just got a T-shirt and a jacket today. I keep a button shirt at the shop in case for any reason I need it. Anywho, yeah, I think I'm going to skip coffee this morning. A little out of sorts.
All right, then. I'll make this my final, and I'll let you get your final approach and landing gear down and lined up for your parking spot and hope that it's there. Again, have a good one. Hopefully everything's fine since you were away for so long, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY, I smell coffee.
There you go. You can always make a Keurig at work if I really need to. Anywho, yep, on the final approach here, just making my way over to the lot. We'll see what surprises lie in store this morning. Catch you in a bit. W8FU. What's up?
Oh, running behind schedule.
Get your act together. Come on. I'm playing around with my node this morning a little bit, so I should be perfect signal.
You sound as beautiful as you look.
All right, let's not get carried away. Fake news.
Yeah, I should have all my parts and pieces on Sunday. So, I don't know what time they're going to drop it off. But they say they're coming. I got the hat that you showed me and the...
when are you going to get the case? Does that come first, or is it all come at one?
Well, I ordered it all at one time. You know, so it's in the same cart, so the shipping, same day and arriving, same day.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, then we just got to get power up to the top of the water tower, and we can put it up there, and we can cover the entire town of Memphis. What do you think?
That'll be phenomenal, at least for me. Yeah, I should have pretty good range with it all. And it's got Bluetooth, or if it's got Wi-Fi where I can connect it to either my home Wi-Fi or my work Wi-Fi, then I'm golden.
Yeah, I could put a bunch of them in there. I can't remember how to do it, but I'll figure it out pretty quick. There was a language you had to write in, but I can figure it out. I've done it before. It'll come back to me fast.
I got my internet upgraded yesterday. So now I have 1 gig fiber. Come to the house, 500 up, 500 down. So got that all set up last night. Gave me this ring, some type of backup for it. But it's compatible with, like the Echo Dot and, you know, other devices kind of thing. And, of course, Ring technology. I'm going to play with it for a month after that. I'm going to send it back probably because it's an extra $25 that I can use somewhere else.
You're going to keep the fiber, though, right? That's amazing your town's got that. That just floors me. But, you know, Papa's got that, too, that optical fiber stuff. It's kind of funny how all these small communities get it. And yet all of these bigger communities, i.e. New Baltimore and stuff like that, you're stuck with just one provider.
Yeah, but it all depends on who makes the best deal in the area. Like in Sterling Heights, where I live, I had a choice of AT&T U-verse, Comcast, or WOW. And I first did Comcast, and they got super ridiculously expensive, so I got rid of them and went to WOW. And that was perfectly fine, so I moved out of there and moved into Romeo. And up in Romeo, I wasn't paying Comcast again, so I got U-verse and Dish, or DirecTV. You know, so now my mother-in-law, she's got DirecTV Stream, and she has my old AT&T internet. I transferred it from Romeo down to her house, and she's quite content.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends if you're just streaming or watching TV or if you want communications. For me, the communications thing is more of a priority than necessarily the TV. You know, I mean, what I watch is very limited. I'm stuck on one news channel. And there's only like two television shows that I watch. So other than that, I really don't care. So I like the Chicago Fire. I like the Chicago Police. That's the only two that I record and watch. Everything else I could care less about. It's all reruns. After that, I like watching all the old stuff. 2 and a Half Men, Frasier, MASH, you know, that kind of stuff. But anything else that's newer, I could care less. So, but the up and the down, that's pretty amazing. I would be very happy if they ever came up with that. But, I mean, Comcast isn't bad here, but it's also crazy money, and every time you turn around, they raise it 5 here, 6 here, 3 here, 10 here, you know, blah, 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 and the next thing all of a sudden you know you got a $300 cable bill. And then you got to run down to St. Clair Shores and go fight with them again.
Yeah, like I said, it all depends on where you live of who's allowed in there. You know, Comcast comes in and says, hey, you know, we'll give the city a deal on an X amount of dollars if you let us run through here. And she's like, okay, that'll work. You know, like Sterling Heights, like I said, they got 3 providers. Where Chesterfield, they're like, nope, we're just, you know, Comcast is giving us a bunch of money and we're not letting anybody else in, kind of thing. And we find out more and more involved in cities and research. But yeah, I am the third fiber customer for Frontier in Memphis, in the area. So, and they just started it 3 days ago.
Bill's line, Finn. You had to see him put the stuff in the ground. I mean, I think it was orange, if I remember correctly. I mean, now that you have it, didn't you see all the trenching trucks going through your town? I mean, you had to see it. Give me a little break in case somebody else wants in here. WAPD.
Hey, Joe. No, it's, my town, it's all on the poles. So this guy came in, I'm like right down from the bridge, but the fiber line's already run down the street. So he went one house over, tapped into it, brought a fiber line all the way to the house, into the house, into the modem. So it's all fiber, no copper, except for my network, which I'm going to get some gigabyte switches because right now I just got 10-100. So I need a couple 1-gig switches in my house, that way I can get it full all the way around, because all my computers are 1 gig. And, yeah, he was in and out, and I got all the background done, and the guy's local, and I'm paying less for my fiber internet than I was for my DSL. So, go figure.
Yeah, there is a blast from the past DSL. Yeah, I had a house home for about a year, not too long ago actually, within the last 10 years. I owned a house down in Harrison Township for about a year, and between girlfriends, and they had WoW there, and it was fast. I mean, I couldn't believe how quick it was, both up and down. And if I remember, it was relatively inexpensive, but I think I had to get up, just like what you just said. I remember I had to buy a faster modem, and I had to buy a faster router, so, or a switch. I can't remember which one I bought, but I remember I had to have something to support it, because it wouldn't do what it said. I can't remember what the speed was, but it was definitely the router and the switch.
NAWRO.
Speaking of booming communities, good morning, Tim.
Good morning, fellas. You're talking about Frontier, right, Tom? Because they did that in front of my house, too, on the poles. Over to you, Tom.
Yes, sir, Frontier Fiber. And it is great. I ran some tests last night, and it's pretty darn good. I connect to the Euro boxes, which is the Wi-Fi portion of it, on 5G, and my up and down has tremendously increased. And said, but my copper lines are still 100 megs, so I got to get 10 switches to bring them up to a gig, because I got one open eye, or one Eagle Eye switch that has a 1 gig port inbound, but the 8 ports are 100 max.
The big question, Tim, did you hook up to your Frontier, or are you using somebody else?
Well, I've been listening to Tom's experience here, so I've been with Comcast for many years, and that, of course, like everybody, that bill is just getting outrageous, so I really got to consider it. Anywho, I'm mobile into the post office here, sending our task book and welcome packet to our new member, and then I'm going to stop off at Ken's for breakfast. Over to you, Tom.
So if you could switch, Tim, I definitely would. The guy that came in my house, I have his work cell, and he says, call him instead of calling Frontier, and he will set you up. So he does sales, service and installation. Really cool guy. He gave me the roundabout on it. Like I said, I got one gig coming into my house, but of course, being fiber, you can get up to five. So, and since he's got the new line right there, and you're, I think you're close to a bridge, maybe. But yeah, it's great, and I pay just under $100 altogether for the two pieces of equipment and the internet, you know, and the service. So I'll go from there, probably drop off the $25 extra box, and if I do that, bump up my speed to maybe two or something. We'll see, but still, for what I was paying for ADSL, I am now fiber, and it's great.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, that's awesome. I got to figure out what I'm going to do then. Just keep on looking at that bill, and it's just way too much. Of course, I got some add-ons. I got HBO on that. So I got to see what the Frontier's lineup would be as far as TV, I guess. I would assume the Internet's going to work fine, but I just want to make sure that their TV lineup, when you do the bundle, is it going to be something that will work for me? Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, well, that's the hiccup nowadays, too. You can't really blame them, but a lot of these channels want money, and that's fine. I get it. You know, HBOs and Showtimes and anything else that's left out there, you know, they all want royalty monies. Even the TV networks now want monies, and the sports networks, Big Ten, which I'm kind of watching nowadays because the nephew, and those things, those, they all want monies. And so I think, you know, in Comcast defense, as much as I think they're greedy little, I won't use the word, but that's a lot of it too. And I'm not so sure, Tom will have to answer this question, but I don't think there's any TV package there. You would still have to sign up with another TV package, but when you have fiber, they don't care if you watch TV regularly on cable, big or wire fiber, because they really don't have a bandwidth problem. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I never really asked about TV, but I know Frontier does offer it. Since fiber's there, it may even be expanded now. And it's probably streaming, Tim. But DirecTV, I have the dish. I have the satellite. My mother-in-law has DirecTV Stream, and she pays under $100, but there's other packages that you can expand, and it's still cheaper than Comcast, by far. You know, so if I could get fiber to her house, I would, but, you know, she's got AT&T broadband kind of thing. But, yeah, check it out. I said, if Frontier doesn't have it, DirecTV Streaming, there's a really good packages there. And the video quality is flawless.
Hey, guys, I got to step out for a minute.
I did have DirecTV at one point in the past. But,
I'll be back in a little while.
I don't know if I want to go that route again.
Go ahead.
Almost half tempted to put an antenna back on top of the house and see just how many channels I can get. I heard that QSO yesterday with the other guys talking about that. But, I'm a little... my needs are, I do want the college football channel, so I got to have those. So I know at the end of the day I'll probably just stay with Comcast in my case, but I can get rid of stuff like HBO. I don't necessarily need that. I just like the sports channels other than that. Anyhow, I'm in front of Ken's, and I'm going to drop out and go get breakfast, but then I'll be monitoring all day long. Helping Mike with the bylaws, taking a look at those bylaws and getting him my 2 cents on that. And then I guess, Wally, we got that Discord meeting at 4 p.m. Over to you, Wally.
Yeah, I got to step out, work. I'm got a couple, three calls that piled up, and one of them, I'm sure somebody's air compressor didn't fire up. So I got to step out for a bit, chat with you guys later. 4 o'clock, if I remember correctly, that was the latest time slot I saw for a Zoom-type meeting. Kevin, just take me, say yes or no, and then back over to Tom. WATD, you guys have a good day.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Well, of course, enjoy working as much as you can. And I'll talk to you guys later. I'll be in and out on the road for a bit. 72 all. PCKGO.
Have a good one, Tom. I think I might have stepped on you. NAWR, I'll be clear. Yeah, Wally, it is 4 o'clock. Have a good one.
Okay, Walter.
Go ahead.
You got a P25 radio handy you can key up on?
Give me a second. It's got to boot up because I have orders to turn those off at night, and I haven't turned them back on yet.
All right. Your CSV file doesn't work with APX, so I got to do it by hand. I just want to see if I'm in the right spot because I've already got you entered in a spot in my radio.
Yeah. That's the old CPS stuff that I did, Astro type thing that I just exported it. I thought maybe you could get lucky and re-import. It doesn't sound like it. All right, be right back.
This is K8YDR, Chip from Marysville Monitoring.
W8FU.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? K8WOJ, Rick.
Doing okay. What's shaking out your way?
It's fair to mostly cloudy. Sitting on the back porch here, having a cigar and watching the cats trying to sneak up on the birds at the bird feeder.
There you go. I'm just sneaking out for some lunch. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm either going to go to Nino's Salvaggio's and get a soup sandwich combo or
maybe go to the new Chick-fil-A, see if it's just as underwhelming as the other one.
Well, sounds pretty good to me. I just had a Marie Calder's meatloaf dinner out of the microwave, so everything sounds better than that.
I don't know. Those are pretty good. Got a few of them, a few of those I really like. That's one of them that's pretty darn good. But I suppose you have to have been brought up on that kind of stuff. I hear that kids these days don't like a lot of that stuff.
Well, I've been a bachelor most of my life, and home-cooked meals just ain't my thing there, so... I like things that can come out of the freezer pretty quickly into a microwave onto paper plates and plastic silverware, and the work is done.
You need to find yourself a big, fat Italian woman that wants a place to stay in exchange for all that wonderful cooking.
Oh, God. I like to eat, but not that much.
Yeah, well, there can be food, lots of it. Ugh. Oh, man. Anyhow, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Boy, there's so many choices. I could go to Bangkok Cuisine and get some Thai. I do like that. But I think I'm just going to go try the new Chick-fil-A. They got one already on Hall Road. They got a new one that just opened up on Romeo Plank and Hall. So I think I'm going to give that a try. Although there's a Halo Burger. Now, wait a minute. What about an Olive Burger from Halo Burger? Oh, man, I might be changing my mind.
Yeah. You got, excuse me, you got a lot of options down there, that's for sure. I know when I was working, I'd always stop somewhere on the way home at a restaurant, because I'd go by 100 restaurants on the way home kind of thing. But I always used to end up in the same ones all the time, having the same meals, getting to know the waitresses, and half the time I'd just have to walk in and sit down, they'd say the usual, and I'd nod, and that was about it. That was about all the ordering I had to do.
Yep. I get kind of tired of the same old, so I mix it up, but usually I like to mix it up by restaurant, usually within any given restaurant, kind of stick to the things I know are good, but yeah, I think I'm going to do that. If I run over to Garfield here, there's a whole bunch of stuff to choose from, and Halo Burger is among them, so... That is, I think that's got my name on it.
I'll have to try one of them sometimes. I keep hearing about them, but I don't think there's any of them over here around me. When I was up in Lapeer, this Mexican restaurant started up. There was a real Mexican restaurant in Emily City, and some of the people there broke off and then started this restaurant in downtown Lapeer there. Oh, man, was that good stuff. All homemade. They made their own chips and all, you know. And they had I thought they were called nachos. They had something called a botana. Oh, my God, was that thing good. I'd have the same thing every day. They started calling me the botana man.
Oh, yeah, I like a good botana. The one at El Charo's pretty good. That's the place, of course, that's got the puffy tacos. So if you ever go there, you got to try a puffy taco just to say you've had one. But their botana is good. I often get that. They got I wouldn't call it fast food. Yeah, maybe. They got like a fast food version in St. Clair Shores. I go to that one more than anything because the food's just as good. But they make they take a single, like, tostada, and they make a what's called a single... Or an individual botana, so that you can get that and something else. You don't have to get the great big, you know, a whole big order. So,
All right, I'm just pulling up here at Halo Burger. I'm going to drop the mic here, get my order in, and all that good stuff. I'll be back in a few. After yours, W8FU.
Okay, catch you later, Sean. Have a good one there, and take care. Well, you sure get around. I wonder how many miles a day you travel. You probably go through cars pretty quick. K-8-W-O-J.
K-K-K-O.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Did I hear Anthony out there, too? Call you? Hi, Sean. Bye, Sean. Enjoy your burger, Sean.
Well, I've been out here a few minutes. I didn't hear Anthony at all, and then Sean's in the Halo Burger getting lunch.
Yeah, I picked up on that. I couldn't get in fast enough to say I want one.
Yeah, I just got done eating. It sounded good. I was going to say I want one too, but I don't want to go that far to pick it up.
I had burger last night, but it was White Burger. She made it, I ate it.
Oh, cool. Did you get to guess to fool around with your new Raspberry Pi?
No, not yet. But I got the other components from my All-Star Note. Those will be on Sunday, and then I'll meet up with Wally, and we'll put it together and program it. See what time I get it this weekend. They say Sunday, and it was free delivery, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, sounds good. So what other kind of trouble are you getting into today?
Oh, I'll find that when I get down to Little Caesars Arena and see what kind of trouble I can get into replacing a hard drive on a file server.
Well, that sounds like fun. You got to do a restore on the hard drive, to, you know, from an old backup or just swap out drives.
It's got a bad rate drive on it, you know, so one of them I'm going to put, so it's being shipped to the site. And then my coworker got to go there and open up the archive server, pull out a bunch of components to get to the hard drive, to put the new hard drive in, to put all the components back into it, to slap it back together and throw it back up in the rack. So, fun. This one tends to be a little bit pain in the posterior kind of thing. And then I got to send an email information request to cybersecurity in regards to another issue that I'm having with another client. Blah, blah, blah. Just one of those days that's more brain work than it is anything.
So which kind of day goes by faster, the brain work day or the physical work day?
Actually, the physical work day, because you just keep your mind off of it, and you're just, you know, you're working, pulling, you know, fixing the camera or doing whatever else, and, you know, you're moving, you know, so you're getting your steps in and everything else like that. The brain work day is when I'm sitting there in front of a computer for 3 hours trying to troubleshoot an issue like I just got done doing. That started at 9 o'clock and just finished up about 10 minutes ago. So that drained my brain. My head hurt. Now all I was doing was just sitting there because it was my vendor support for the software and my IT people, cyber people, network people, and coordinators and all this other junk. Just to say, oh, we can't do that right now. We have to wait till 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Oh, great. Yeah, I know what you mean there. When I was building tooling there for the car companies there, it seemed like half the time I'd get busy in the morning. I'd go, well, I think I can finish this or that by the end of the day kind of thing. And then you start digging in and next thing you know, it'd be all quiet. I'd look up and I'd missed about half a lunch. Wander over and gobble something down and then back at it again, but the day would fly right by.
Yeah, my coworker and I do that. We just buckle down to do it and take care of it. Sometimes, you know, come momentarily for air or for food, and then, you know, buckle back down into the project. And then by the time we get it done, it's like, holy moly, what is it, 7 o'clock? Jeez, where did the day go?
You know the ones I find go fastest?
Good.
You know, you go wander off and find a little corner and put your feet up, you doze off, next thing you wake up right at quitting time. Those go real fast.
I never could get away with those kind of days.
Well, welcome back, Sean. I gotta go find a little hiding spot so you can eat your Halo burger, which sounds really good. I brought a salad today. Just to give you an update, yeah. I have 1 gig fiber is what I got.
All right, yeah. Yeah, they almost have to deliberately limit you. Fiber just is what it is. But gigabit symmetrical or five up, five down? I thought I heard you say earlier. What is it?
Yeah, five up, five down. And then I got this ring backup kind of thing. I guess it's if the fiber goes down, I go back to, it's almost cellular, I believe. I haven't really looked that much into it. But I probably dump that at the end of the year, because that's an extra $25. And then I got these, basically, whole home Wi-Fi or whatever. You know, the gateways are behind the TV and the other one's upstairs, so I consider that a mesh. But it's a pass-through mesh. Gets its IP from the fiber modem.
Go ahead, Rick.
Rick, where'd you go?
Well, I'm still here. You caught me sleeping. but I'm going to head in here in a minute here. My hands get too cold to hang on to the radio anymore.
All right. Well, we'll catch you when you come back or whatever. I got to just stop real quick at Dakota's place of employment, drop something off at his truck, and then head back to the shop and eat my olive burger. But, yeah, as far as the fiber goes, I'm probably going to go to it at some point. I've just been really pleased with the T-Mobile internet. And so, you know, it's so cheap. I'm just like, you know, why not? But I'll probably switch back. Well, I don't know. I mean, right now, it's just that carrier-grade NAT thing that's driving me up the wall. If it weren't for that, there'd be no question. I'd just stay with the T-Mobile internet. But even if I get rid of the, or even if I switch to the fiber, I'll probably just keep the T-Mobile as a failover. They got a $10 failover internet service. For $10, you can. I got a router that supports the automatic failover, hot standby. And if I ever have a failure, it can switch over to that. And at the rate I use the internet, it's give me about 5 days worth of internet. So, you know, most outages are going to be a day or two, so it'd be more than sufficient.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I got one of those modems. That's what I had in my open spot connected to. Got it from Micro Center for like $30. It's a 4G, but it does its job. And yeah, it's, you know, when I lost the copper line, it failed over. But that just sits in my bag now, and I use it for work. And then I got a puck with a chip in it, you know, a SIM chip. And I use that more in my van here for wireless internet, and the 5G is great. I have no complaints. You know, I got, what, 8 lines, you know, six cell and two data lines through T-Mobile, and I've never been destroyed. I love T-Mobile.
Well, I've had AT&T for a while, cellular, just because it seemed like there wasn't almost anywhere in Michigan I could go without, where I didn't have coverage kind of thing, except for about a 40-mile stretch up north through the middle of nowhere. But other than that, it seems like everywhere I go, I get good coverage there. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to head back in the house here. But I forgot I'm on the clear note, so I can I won't lose you guys. T-8-W-O-J for ID.
Yeah, so far, Sean, I'm really impressed with the fiber. I mean, it's a new line all the way into my house, right to the fiber modem, so there's, you know, no interfaces. It's right there. And it's a 1 gig port out, and it goes to my switches and my mesh towers. So my switches are only 10-100, so I'm going to have to get two new switches. But get 1 gig all across the board.
Have you ran any speed tests just to see what you're getting?
I ran the speed test to the app itself on my phone, and it says I get just over 500 in and out. When I go to my Wi-Fi, you know, because my laptops are older, I get probably about 100 coming through one way, and then probably a little over 100 the other way. So I loaded up a web page, and man, it just popped right up. There was no waiting. Not only that, my Roku in the bedroom is on that Wi-Fi, and now there's no latency.
Yeah, that's the real thing, especially if you're a gamer, but I don't think you are, but that's the real test of the network. So very good. I expect you'll like it. And, you know, really it's the upload more than anything. Most services can give you enough download. You know, most people don't need, you know, more than 300, let's say. Never noticed the difference, you know, like me, mostly. Which is the biggest reason I haven't switched. You know, I'm just not a big, you know, user when it comes to download. But, you know, upload's where it can get you if you're serving anything up. Or if you're doing a lot of online video, you know, things like that, that's where the upload can get you, because that's usually much less. I've always liked that about fiber. It's symmetrical, so, you know, you get five down, you get five up, and that's more than enough to do just about anything us mere mortals would want to do.
EHJL.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do anything. I mean, I do a lot of printing and just a lot of YouTubing and, you know, streaming. And it's been pretty flawless. Even my YouTube comes up faster on the TV. I got a brand new LG, so, and it's hardwired. So I'm only running 100 meg to it. That's why I got to get more switches so I get even more speed. Station calling, go ahead. KCKGO.
About that. I came in late in the morning with the fiber provider you guys are talking about. Sean, I completely agree with you. For 25 years, I had to have the fastest internet you could get. And probably about 10 years ago, it's like, you know, several hundred megabits is just fine, except for the rare time I need something faster, in which case I just go to a client location that's got gigabit and call it a day. But 99% of my needs are met for 300 megabits or so, whatever, you know. But I was wondering what provider. I'm going to turn it back over to not Sean, the K call. Go ahead.
Kilo Charlie, 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar, KCKGO. Yeah, so I got 1 gig coming in the house, and the upload download was 500-500, so it's split. And then everything that's on Wi-Fi is really fast, even with the 2.5 gig portion of it. But I can move them if I need to on some of them. But yeah, it's more than sufficient to what I need. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, hey, Tim. Well, we we just got 123net down my street, and they're offering. I didn't even look at all the different packages, but when I saw they had a gigabit symmetrical service for like $60, I'm like, why would I do anything else? And again, it's probably way more than I'll ever use, but you know, why not? So right now, though, I'm enjoying the T-Mobile, and it's working really good for me. And I'm getting internet. I'm getting all my internet needs for like $30 a month. It's crazy. And the only negative, you might have heard me mention earlier, is the T-Mobile. Everything is this carrier-grade NAT. So the IP address changes constantly, multiple times during a day, and it causes havoc with things like nodes and stuff. I've mostly worked the bugs out of that using DBNS and other various, you know, tricks and tunneling and stuff, but it's still a little problematic. Like, I got a VoIP phone, and one of the services is just always, you know, it's off, and then it's on, and it's off, then it's on, and, yeah, it's just, that would be the one thing that would get me to switch to something else. And if I do, it'll be that 123net gigabit service.
Let me jump in real quick. What was the provider you guys were talking about? Is it 123net? And then the other thing for you, Sean, have you thought about going IPv6? Because obviously carrier is an absolute non-starter. I would never use a service with it because of what you just described. I think call it a day. Well, often, but I don't contact.
Well, I'll let Tom answer the provider because I'm not 100% sure. I know he told me, and I've forgotten who's offering him the fiber up there. But yeah, if only you know. IPv6 solves all these carrier-grade NAT problems fine, but as you probably know, all stars in the, you know, in the 19th century, the 20th century, they don't speak IPv6, so, you know, and that's one of the places where it's troublesome. Now, I don't know why, you know, one of the VoIP services I'm having trouble with is a ham-based thing. It's not the big one that's left, but it's a lesser one, and I think maybe they have some trouble with it too. But you're right, yeah, IPv6 would solve it, and you know, the problem is that doesn't work for All-Star and this one particular VoIP provider that I don't even care if they went away. But Tom, go ahead and answer about the provider that you've got up there now with the fiber.
Yeah, it's called Frontier Communications, and it used to be, what was the other one, it used to be GTE or something like that, but it's Frontier, but just heard too through my tech that they have merged with Verizon, so, but yeah, it's Frontier Communications, and they got a deal going on right now, so. I got the whole bundle package for internet. I got the fiber modem, the new fiber line, free installation. What else did they do? Oh yeah, I got this ring compatible backup if the fiber goes down, and then the whole home Wi-Fi for $100.
That sounds great. I wish I could have an opportunity to get fiber like that. I'm lucky. Both WoW and Comcast are available where I am, so that works well. But yeah, it's like hitting the jackpot, getting fiber to come down your street. I keep hoping. And then for you, Sean, I'm sure you know this. I know you know this, but you could do 44net and get static, real-world routable permanent IP from the 44net people. And then you just do, I think it's Wireshark back to them. That would obviously solve all your problems there. I'm really surprised the 6-4 game. The ham live traffic, not the ham live, you know what I'm talking about, the all-star link stuff. I know that their IPv4 on their side is, you know, it isn't nearly as nice, but I'm really surprised there isn't a 64 gateway that would be able to handle that for you. But I also acknowledge that even today, unless you're doing pure IPv6 to IPv6, it's so much difficulty that you might as well just stay with your carrier grade net and call it a day. It is difficult. But the 44 net stuff could be a real option. I just wanted to drop in real quick because, A, I love this stuff, and B, I wanted to know what the provider was. I don't want to interrupt you guys, so I'll kind of back out and let you guys talk. Thank you very much for answering my questions. I appreciate it. You guys have a good afternoon. I'll be monitoring, but I'll let you guys communicate. 73-88-JL.
Well, I'm just getting back to my office with my food, so I'm going to be making this my last and get inside. But, yeah, I do the 44-net stuff. I've got a zero-tier tunnel, or not tunnel, VPN that's set up, and it helps, but still not, you know, All-Star just doesn't like that carrier grade NAT, and even when you do that, it's a troublesome. Eventually, I'm just going to get right on 44 NAT. I'm going to get it natively as soon as I get a sector antenna I can get to at one of the sites. Then I'm just going to literally bring it 44 MI6 right into my house, and then at that point, I'll just put all my amateur stuff on that and just call it a day. All right, I got to get inside with my burger before it gets any colder. It took me way longer than I expected. W8FU.
Have a great one. I got to do a loop-the-loop here because I got the wrong address in my phone. So, all right, enjoy your halo. I'll talk to y'all later. 73 KKKJO.
Said it before, Sean. I'll say it. The job. KKKJO.
KGO, I think it is.
ACHL.
Gateway, and then you have an extender that I have upstairs. So if you find me on QRZ, send me an email, and I can send you the part number and research a little bit more. I've heard of Ubiquiti, and I'm not a big fan of them either. I got a lot of equipment that kind of goes through that. I like Cisco the most. You know, Cisco's more stable. Yeah, it's more expensive, but I like Cisco.
But you, sir, are hardcore, because while I've worked on an awful lot of Cisco gear, I won't voluntarily put a piece of Cisco gear into operation. And it has nothing to do with, like, quality of the gear or even quality of the solution. But Cisco is the only company I like that from Cisco is Oracle.
Work on switches or Cisco equipment. I had a Cisco router, which I liked, which is, what is it? Ooh, Cisco owns, not Netgear, they own one of the other smaller subsidiaries. But I think Cisco's are pretty robust. I'm only seen a few Ubiquities, but I deal mostly with cell communications for alarm panels and things like that.
The value you get for what you pay is off the charts. The problem is, sometimes I'll buy one of their models, and it's just great, rock solid, reliable, etc. And then sometimes you'll buy the next version, and it's just...
for Zuzu.
WDAKLL. Yeah, this is WDAKLL. Anybody listening, give me a signal report.
DIC.
Oh, hello, Jack. Just curious how I'm sounding. I just plugged in a new desk mic, trying it out.
Okay, but give me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Good audio. Sound good.
All right, I didn't change any of my settings that I had before, so I wasn't sure how it sounded. I'm about 6 or 8 inches away from it right now.
What do you put in, new mic?
Yeah, I got a desk mic, Yaesu desk mic.
Sound good. Excellent.
Oh, good deal. Now I got to figure out how to hook up this amplifier and get it going.
It was a good deal or no?
Yeah, I think it's a good deal.
Well, that's good. If it's a good deal, it made a good deal. It made it good. For how long has it been used, that thing? A year or 2 years?
Yeah, I found it brand new in a box. Guy had it, I looked at the paperwork. It was back from 2007. Yeah, I had it brand new in a box. Manual and everything. Never even fired up.
Well, you're lucky to find one. It's really hard to find these things.
Yeah, I found it on Marketplace, and ironically, it's the guy down your way. Well, he's down in Wyandotte, but the ham passed away in July of this year. And, yeah, he was part of the Detroit club down there. But, yeah, his daughter is listing everything on Marketplace, so I can send you the link if you're looking for anything.
Do that, because I was on 625 this evening, and Robert down there, downriver, he said somebody is, something like that, one of the ham people passed away, and I don't know who was it. He gave me the call sign, but I didn't write it down.
Yeah, his name was Raymond. I don't have his last name in front of me, but it's K8 or KD8 DPZ.
No, I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah, right. Being only in the hobby 6 months, so at least on my end. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, he's selling a whole bunch of stuff. He's got a couple other amplifiers, too. He's got an Meritron ALS 811, which is, I think, 800 watts. And he's asking, or she's asking, 600 for it. So, I think that's a good deal.
Oh, I don't know. If I was looking for one, I would go to Ohio and get one and come back.
Yeah, well, this guy, this box was shipped from R&L, R&L Electronics in 2007.
Yeah, well, those guys buy Ohio anyhow. That's probably why. Now, go ahead, send me a link. I want to see what else he's got. Maybe something I want to get something he's got.
All right, Jack, we'll do. All right, glad this thing's working. we'll talk at you later there. I gotta find my manual and see if I can figure out how to hook this amplifier up. KF8 DRC WD8 KLL. Be clear after yours.
No problem. I don't know how much you're gonna use it. You're gonna use it like all day? Is that what you're planning to do?
You talk about the amplifier?
Yeah.
I'm going to use it only on HF, obviously, and probably run about 200 or 300 watts, see how I'm doing, and go from there.
Yeah, that's good. 200 or 300, that's it. That's good enough.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think most guys that have the 600 watts, I think they run 400. Or so, at least I hear them saying they're running 400 watts a lot of the time. And I think that's plenty.
Yeah, that's funny. Anyway, he got a good antenna out there. It really doesn't need that much from that 10-meter antenna he got out there. That is the best antenna out there. I haven't seen any besides that yet. Anyhow, good talking to you. We'll talk again. KFADRC.
Okay, Jack. Talk to you later. WDAKLL.
W8FU.
You know, I like to say it like I mean it.
Yes, there's a lot of passion behind that remark. It's very unique, I'm telling you that much.
Yep, the call, the timing of the call, and everything was very serendipitous.
And so 100% legal, I love it.
All right, that was a little noisy. Not 100% sure. Was that Tim?
Guys, I just turned up my power. Is that better?
That seemed to be better, but Murphy's Law of Radio Waves does apply.
Real quick, I don't want to interrupt the conversation about call signs, but I would love to know more details about how you're going to get a direct connection to the 44 net. Are you getting another ISP to broadcast an AS number advertisement on BGP, or is there some sort of like amateur radio fiber network that I'm not aware of? I was just curious how that works.
No, you can read up a little bit about it on the Central Michigan Network's page on their, you know, on the MI6, and they have point to point, which is where we link the sites together, and that's what we did, you know, about a year and a half ago. We linked all, we figured out what sites we were going to have and linked them all together. And then in the next phase, whenever that comes, however that we got to figure out what funding will be and, you know, how we're going to do it, we'll put in sector antennas, and those will be point to multi-point. And then an amateur, let's say like yourself, would be able to go out and buy a small dish and then beam straight at the multi-point dishes at the nearest site. We've picked the sites that pretty much anybody in Macomb County should have a reasonable shot at getting there. And you get right on the... right on the 44 net through the MI6, through point to multi-point.
Well, that makes sense. That's just straight-up IP routing. The question is, where is the connection between what could be effectively considered a private network and the actual 44? Because with BGP, there's going to be a prefix, something that's handling the 44/8. And actually, it's probably a /9 now, but somewhere there has to be a bridge between those two, and that's where I was curious how you're bridging the you know, the Siemens network, the McComb network, all of that makes sense. How are you bridging that to the actual 44 dot advertisement?
We're our own wisdom. Speaking above my pay grade, because all of the equipment we installed, the point-to-point, the point-to-multipoint, it's all 44. It's all 44 dot. It's all 44 net. So you're getting right on the 44 net directly. There's no translation or anything like that. So I'm either misunderstanding because it's not my bailiwick, or something, because it is all 44 net natively. When in Fenton there's a data center and it can drop out to the regular internet. For that kind of connectivity, but that's in a data center. I also have a regular internet presence at one of my locations here in Macomb County where things can route in and out. But the stuff we've installed is native 44 net. I don't know if that answers your question because again, you're getting a little out of my area of expertise.
WSU-ADHL. Yeah, no, it probably then takes place in the data center in Fenton. You can have an entire network. You can pick any IP address you want. You can pick 44, that's fine. Handling all of that routing within a regional area is absolutely no problem. Straightforward. You guys can control your own stuff, control it directly. But on the internet, there can only be a single advertising in the BGP stack for the 44 thing. And then you can have sub-advertisings under that assigned to what are called AS numbers. And I'm just wondering how that's handled. You're right. It is a pretty esoteric and like narrow little thing. So, Jet, I may be asking a question that isn't relevant for you. And if it's handled by the Siemens people in a data center in Fenton, there's zero reason why you would have to have any awareness of that. I was just curious. The way you were talking, I thought that it was going to be brought in, that bridge, that connection was going to be brought in here in Macomb County. That's what I was curious about. If it's being handled at a data center in Fenton, just be grateful you don't have to know any of those details, and that's perfectly fine. And I'll check out the website. There may be more discussion on that. That's the type of stuff that I do, and that's what I was wondering how that was being done for you guys. There's multiple ways of doing it with advantages and disadvantages, and I was just wondering the way that you guys had come up with it. So I'll do some more reading. It's not your job to educate me, so don't worry about that. I'll do some more reading and see what I can find.
Yeah, the guy that would be most able to, answer those questions would be Fred, W8FSM. I'm sure he knows exactly what you're referring to. But the expert on frequency now is Tom. I'm going to turn it over to Tom so he can explain it.
I forgot what else to mention. You guys just went off on that. My brain just literally went to mush in regards to all that. That's like way beyond my mental comprehension on what you're talking about. And it totally scrolled me out.
Not at all a big deal. I wouldn't have even brought it up if it hadn't been brought up earlier today, and I've been thinking about it since that point, just curious how that is being done. Not at all an important thing. Like I said, I just thought I'd ask. So thank you very much for humoring my question. I appreciate it. I'll let you guys go about what you were talking about. Thanks for the time, guys. Hope you have a good afternoon. ADHJL.
Yeah, no problem. I just, everybody has their area. That is not mine. I understand, how the hardware we're putting in and how to configure that basically, and only basically. And then people can all hop on that. Where the magic happens between the 44 net as we implement it and the rest of the world, that's being handled elsewhere, and I think that's what you're referring to. My guess would be Fred's handling all that. So I know the block was awarded to him specifically, or Central Michigan or something, so I'm sure he handles how to handle things in and out of the net. So anywho,
enough on that because I don't know enough to, and I'm probably, you know, I don't like to talk about things I don't know a lot about because I can just, all I can do is end up sounding stupid.
Problem. You nailed it exactly. That's exactly the area that I was most specifically asking about, and that nails it exactly. Nope. I appreciate your time very much. I appreciate your efforts. Sounds great. I'm just excited. It's just really cool stuff, and it's really cool that the amateurs doing really cool stuff like that. I'm looking forward to continuing to follow along from the sidelines, be involved as I can. All right. Well, I'm gonna run. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. You guys have a good afternoon. ADHJL. I will be clear.
Well, you should get involved with our ARPSC group here. You're technical, and there are certain technical, you know, things that could use other minds. So, and we're very involved with all that. We work very closely. We put together crews to do everything from the hardware, all the way through the, you know, software and design and stuff like that. So. You know, the more we know here locally, the better. I think you're a Macomb County resident as well, so it all works out. All right, enough on all that. We're leaving Tom out of the loop there, and I'm sure he's almost out of peanuts.
Oh, well, my marble bag is scattered, so, and yeah, I didn't bring my peanuts today. I think when I get home, I got to get some. But I did have Kung Pao tofu today for lunch, Sean, and it was phenomenal.
Did you say Kung Pao tofu? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. Kung Pao tofu. I was at LCA at Google, and usually try to get there around lunchtime because they have a chef on site. And they have this dish called Kung Pao Tin Tofu. I'm like, that looks interesting. And I tried it. I'm like, ooh, it's got a little bit of a kick to it. And I had some fried rice. Threw that in there. Found some grilled chicken. Chopped that up. Put it in there. I had this big, huge bowl. And the tofu was grilled. And it was great. And it was spicy, but it was great.
Well, in general, I throw up a little when I think of tofu in a dish, but I think if it's done right, it could be pretty good. But I'm going to have to take your word for it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm partial to tofu. It all depends on what it's in. That was really good. I mean, it was mixed in, had a lot of flavor.
Noisy, real noisy. I'm at Dodge Park in 16. I'm thinking about taking it south and stopping at Fenimiglia's. I heard some guys talking about subs, and John, N8HTV, he was talking about Fenimiglia's, and he said get the soft roll, but he said something else about the sandwich. And I said, I'm going to try it that way next time I go, and for the life of me, I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, I'm still on TJ's machine. I'm up here on Rochester. I'm on Rochester. I haven't jumped over to our Richmond yet. Fenimiglia's, I've heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't been over there to try it yet. You know, but if I want something like corned beef, definitely go to Jimmy D's.
Wait a minute. Was something about vinegar and oil. You got to tell them to put vinegar and oil on it? Is that what it was? Oh, man, I can't remember. Damn it.
Yeah, vinegar oil is the best on a sub. You know, the right combination. Just like, what is it? Jersey Mike, you have a Mike's way with the vinegar and oil and the oregano? Yeah, pretty normal. There, now I'm on Richmond.
There you go. Well, I got to make my mind up fast because here's Dodge Park. I'm either going to make the Michigan left here and head down there, or I'm going to go home and figure something else out for it. Oh, what's a boy to do? What's a boy to do? Road work ahead. Doesn't look too bad. I'm going to make the Michigan left.
There you go. That was a quick decision. I'm sorry, I'm kind of done for the day and going to go home and play with my 1 gig internet. I only got 100 meg switches. I'll get 1 gig switches later. But I've got to check the download speed on one of my machines.
Yeah, I don't know which speed test is best, or, you know, if there's a good one or a bad one. You know, I've used that Ookla or whatever it is now they call it. I don't trust the ones that the providers give you, because, you know, they cache things locally, and so you get a false sense of speed. So if you go to something a little bit more obscure, you're a little bit more sure they're not going to just be giving you an inflated speed because it's something that got cached.
Yeah, I did my laptop last night, and like I said, it's got an older Wi-Fi chip in it. I said the machine is, you know, still runs on another 2.5 gig, and so I think I got like just under 200 one way, and I've just drawn 100 the other way, which to me is still pretty good. I mean, like I said, I loaded up the pages, man, and it just bounced straight up, so I'm pretty consistent with that. And I don't have any latency anymore on my Roku. The audio still sticks with the video and doesn't, you know, it doesn't scatter itself. So I'm still messing around with it. But the Evo or whatever the Wi-Fi is, it says 5 gig. So it's got the newer network in there. I know I have some, I think my work laptop is 2.5 or 5, so it picks it automatically.
Had to call the XYL and see what she wants. I'm going in. I'm gonna make the stop here at Ventimiglia, so I think I can figure out what I'm trying to remember here. Oh, look at that, good parking spot too. Man, I'll tell you what, the sun is beating my butt. All right, Tom, I'll be back in a few. I'm gonna run in here and grab a sub. W8FU. Well, the surest way is to do W8FU.
So get it the W8FU way?
Well, I called my son and it went to voicemail. I texted him and he hasn't responded back. And I figure the only way to get him to respond is to get in another conversation. And then he'll probably call back right in the middle.
You're going to do oil and vinegar.
Yeah, I hope I did everything right. I got everything. Oh, I didn't get the hot peppers, though. Did I? God dang it. Son of a... Anyhow, I didn't get the hot gardenara. Damn it.
I got the mild peppers. I love those.
Well, I think I've got some hot gardenara in the fridge, so I should be okay. But, yeah, I can't remember what it was. There was a big discussion, and it was about those sub sandwiches. And I usually get the Ventimiglia's on a hard roll. This time I went soft roll, and I didn't know you had to ask for vinegar and oil. I guess they said they put oil on it. They don't put vinegar in oil, so we'll give it a try. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you gotta have vinegar in oil. You know, oil's fine, but you got a little bit of vinegar in there and get a little bit more of a little tang in there.
Yep. The one thing I don't care for is Italian dressing on a sub. I mean, if it's light, just a little bit, I can tolerate it. But sometimes, you know, it's just too much, and it's just too powerful, overpowers the sandwich.
Well, that's why I like Jersey Mike's and Jimmy John's. You know, it's just vinegar and oil with a little bit of garnish in there, I guess you can say. And it makes it all the more better.
Yeah, Subway, my favorite. The Subway Club, and I get it with onions and green peppers and lettuce and tomato, and then I just have put vinegar, oil, salt, and pepper. That's my go-to.
I should be taking cheese with puppy sauce.
I did not know there was a tubby sauce. What is tubby sauce?
It's like their version of Italian, but milder. Just a little bit drizzle on there. Tastes really good. Don't want to take away from the Swiss cheese or anything like that.
Say what? What are you talking about? What you talking about? By the way, remember my BP gas search the other day? The one right by my house is 10 cents cheaper than every other one. It's $2.84, and all the rest of them are like $2.94. So I guess the one right by my house is the one to go to.
I'll see. But since I use a fuel card that's not mine, I use an Upside app, and so far I've accumulated $175 in Upside money.
Well, that ain't bad. My American Express has cash back rewards for groceries and gas and online purchases and things like that. Although I do most of my online purchases through Amazon, and using the Amazon card, you get, I forget what you get back, 5% or something like that. But, so that's always good. I've always got Amazon bucks. Sometimes I'll go to buy something and it'll be completely, you know, it'll be free because of the Amazon. It's not free, obviously, but you know, I won't have to pay anything, because if I use my Amazon card, it gives me the Amazon bucks or whatever you call them. This BP card doesn't do bucks, but they give you, like, you know, you're already about 10 cents below the cash price everywhere else. Puts it squarely in the Costco, Sam's Club, BJ's, Range, and then they're always running something like on Fridays, get an extra 20 cents off, or, you know, this month, you know, this or that, or on any given day, there's always something. So, I end up getting it. I don't think I've paid over, I think $2.39, so most I've paid since I got that BP card.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I go to Marathon, and I got, you know, ARCO Rewards points and Sunshine Rewards points, and so when I fill up that way, too, I put my loyalty ID number in there, and then fill up this big honking thing of a vehicle, and so I get cents back on that, you know, or I can use it for, like, 10, 20, up to, like, $2 off a gallon, and then with the Upside app, so I get cents back anywhere from 12 cents up to, I've had it as high as 33 cents, and that's cash back. And over the accumulation, I've gotten about $400 in cash back, but I usually give it away. But this time, I'm using it for Christmas.
Oh, that's a cool idea. I ought to not use my cash backs and really let them accumulate so that I can see them in their splendor. Use them for something like that. I'll have to try that. Maybe I'll do that with my Amazon for sure. So we buy a lot from them. As does just about everybody. Bezos rules the world, right? But yeah, that's a good deal. I don't buy a lot of gas though. You know, I get my work vehicle gets filled up at work and by work, and I just don't fill up all that much.
in my personal vehicle, so, which is all good. And when I retire, that'll change, obviously. So how do you take advantage of the benefits? I mean, that's not your gas you're putting in there, or is it? What do they do, reimburse you? But then you get the benefits of the card?
It's a fuel card. So I go there and I put in my ARCO rewards or whatever, you know, or BP, depending on which one I'm at. But on the app, I just say, oh, look, it's 17 cents cash back, and I go claim it, and I claim it, and then my gas card is linked to it. I fill it up, and then they either take a picture of it or just say confirm linked card, and, the fleet card pays for the gas, and then, 17 cents per gallon comes back into the upside account, and I can use it for whatever I want. Like I said, this year I'm holding on to it for Christmas, I'll buy some gifts here and there. But usually when I accumulate it so much, I give it away. I donate it. My total activity is like $400 some odd, and I think 300 of it I've given away to someone who needs an extra couple bucks or something. I'll PayPal it to them. A friend that she's on disability, I'll send it to her, for her son and things like that.
I know a guy, doesn't live terribly far from you, and he desperately needs a Raspberry Pi. Send him some money.
Is he currently operating a P25 machine, or a handheld given up by another individual?
Hey, that could be. I looked around through all my stuff, and I didn't find anything that looks even close to functional. So I have one Pi that looks like it. I tried to get it up and running, and it wouldn't boot. So something happened to it. I seem to recall that's why it was in the drawer it was in. So I dug around a little bit more. I didn't really see anything that didn't have something earmarked. Although I think I got a 2W that's close to my needs. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I might have a 2W. So, but, anywho. Maybe, yeah, now that I think of it.
Well, I picked up a Pi 5 yesterday for the price of a Pi 4. And I got the little piece for it off of Amazon already. And I got the Oogle Boogle or whatever it is, the radio for it, the Note. So everything should be here on Sunday, and I could put it all together.
Oh, there you go. Look at you go. It's coming around. And if you're going to be using it at home, Five, the Five's no problem if you're going to have it plugged into the car or plugged in at home. It's no problem. But my problem with the 5 is when you go to running them off battery for, like, if you want super portable use, the 5 is unnecessarily power-hungry for that application. But you're not going to be running it that way, so no harm, no foul.
Oh, no, and I couldn't beat the price. Like I said, a Pi 4 at Micro Center was $54.99, and the Pi 5 was, like, $64.99. And he goes, oh, we got a deal on him going, it's $10 off the Pi 5. I'm like, okay, how about the Pi 4? And he goes, nope, that one's not on sale. I'm like, well, hell, for the price of a Pi 4, give me the Pi 5.
There you go. All right, I just pulled up at home. I'm going to back in the driveway here and get inside. So you've got to be pretty close. So he will... listen out, and then catch you later. W8FU.
Yeah, I just pulled up in front of Family Farm and Home. I got to get some doggy kibbles because, the cupboard is empty. And Mother Hubbard said, go get some. All right. Enjoy your sub. I'll talk to you later. KCKJO 73.
Hey, DBO.
Are you home yet?
No, just leaving. I was walking out the door at 4, and then I was told that we had to go move a table that was about 12 feet long and 4 feet wide and made of granite.
I'm just hurt thinking about it.
It was not on my bingo card for this week.
I get it. Last week I pulled the cable back to a center block wall for a reader and a door strike across 30 feet of ceiling because I couldn't go into the classroom, so I had to pull it back in another inconspicuous area on the other side of the brick wall. Pulled that all back, coiled it all up, and then turn around and toss it over the other direction to go to another wall, to go to a mono reader and a door strike on another door on the other side of the building, along with an additional 50 feet of cable. Yeah, did that 2 days in a row over my head.
I do not like pulling cable. I do it when I absolutely have to, especially in a drop ceiling.
Well, on the drop ceiling, you gotta be up there, but because our cables have to be above the sprinkler pipe, went up all the way through the trusses, and in one area, we literally had to go up over the deck, you know, over the beam, through the top of the beam, and then down, and then I had to stand there and splice eight wires with dolphins.
Unfortunately, I do not get along with heights, so that's my biggest complaint about when I got to do stuff like that. I hate getting up that high. Like when I put my mast up on my house, being on a 24-foot extension ladder, I still didn't really care for that either.
No, this was with an 8-foot ladder, the short deck, so I could reach it on top of an 8-footer and buzz that through, and then if we had anything all over, we'd just grab the 10-footer and went up a little bit higher, but we got it done. And now, we have arrived at home. And my internet is 1 gig, 500, 500 up, down, so I gotta go run some more tests. But, great. Now I get a phone call. All right, I'll catch you later, Dakota. Have a safe drive home, 73, KJO.
Talk to you later, Tom, at ABBS.
WADD Mobile. WADD.
Was that the Birmingham Police Department I just heard on this frequency? WARCY, inquiring minds want to know.
What's up?
Well, I only heard a portion of the call sign originally, and I just picked it out to be Brian.
Nope, Wally.
Well, my ears do deceive me, or you do a very good impression of Brian. one way or another. Nothing new on my end, really. Dealing with the weather, and still have a little bit of a dusting on the snow along the fence line out back, but other than that, it's pretty much all gone. And the weather's going to be nice over the next few days, so if you've got to get out and do anything like I believe Sean has to do with some yard cleanup and stuff, those are the days to do it. Me, I just got to sweep my 50-square-foot balcony. Got to sweep it off one more time. And I will probably clean the door wall glass to the balcony.
I thought I heard somebody else in there. Go ahead.
W-8-B-D-D. I'm close by.
Well, good evening, sir. Yeah, I heard a call sign, but I only heard a portion of it. It didn't come completely through. And the voice sounded like yours, but nope. Brethren there, Wally, does a pretty good impersonation of you, and I was fooled.
Let's see if I got it. Not too much, guys. Just got done with the Zoom meeting, and that's all behind me. And so now I just was playing around with my node, and I figured I'd throw my call sign out, and it was connected. So go ahead, Don. WBD.
So are you talking through a node right now, or are you talking through ham over IP?
I am talking via RF. Who's the other one out there? I didn't catch the call sign. Go ahead, WBD.
W8BPD, and I'm on the XTL2500 on my outside antenna right now.
That's a nice radio. I got a couple of those. But right now I'm on the XPR. What do you want, Don? Your node?
Well, the full spectrum is my Bofang UV5R, 1 watt of power through the node in the other room.
BPD, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just rehoused my XTS2500, so it looks like new. And then the other project I have is my XPR 4550, but I need the firmware to get further on that because I'm locked out of the code plug.
That's too far over my head. Wally, go ahead.
You have to push it. If you can't get into the code plug, was it something you did, or did you acquire the radio that way? The only way I know to get out of it is with Depot, to push the firmware through Depot.
Yeah, I just got to acquire the firmware. I can't get it on the Motorola Solutions webpage. I have the proper software to push it. And I acquired the radio this way, even though he said it was unlocked.
You got Depot. What version you need? You said it's the 4550. Isn't that like 1.12 or something like that?
I have 15, and there's 17 is the final. So 1.1512, something like that.
Give me a minute. Let me see if I have it. I might. WABD, I'll be back.
So, Brian, does my flame sound okay through the node? Like I said, I'm in one room, and the device is sitting in the living room with a wall between us.
There was a little bit of a 60 hertz hum in there, like something's on a charger. But other than that, it's full quieting and clear.
Well, my cell phone was resting on my chest, and my radio was in my hand, practically right next to it. And that's probably what was humming. I moved it. I don't know if it's any better, but I just moved it out of the way.
Nope, still the same, but let's say it's light enough. It wouldn't bother most people, but it's there.
Well, I was having some transmission issues with the node yesterday, wasn't it? I can't remember. But I rebooted the node, and it really didn't clear it up. And then Sean suggested I reboot my Xfinity Wi-Fi box, and that seemed to have cleared that portion of it up. But, yeah, so Wi-Fi box has been running pretty much 24/7, except for a couple weekends I unplugged it when I was out of town, and other than that, it just constantly runs. So I just rebooted it and it seemed to fix that problem. And like I said, even my phone being an arm's length away from me now instead of right next to me or on my person, that's still there. So, all right, Wally's back. Are you back, sir?
I found it. It's for a mobile, right, Brian?
Yes, sir.
It's 180 megs. I'm going to try to find a Dropbox thing and send it into a Dropbox. Give me a minute. I'll be back.
Jeopardy theme playing in the background as we wait. Anything new on your end, Brian? Nothing new here.
No, other than I thought today was Thursday and I was going to have the house to myself until I was outside doing the leaves and my daughter showed up from work and I'm like, what are you doing here? And the mailman was standing right there, started laughing at me. My daughter goes, it's Wednesday. We always come home early on Wednesdays.
Well, I don't feel so bad, but then again, I got an excuse, and I'm much older than you, and I do sometimes forget what day of the week it is. A couple weekends ago, was the last time I missed breakfast or something, and Sean was out working at a site. A lot of us weren't there, and for some reason, I thought Saturday was Sunday, and Sunday was Monday, and it's just like, oh, boy, so this is what getting old is all about. The mind is the first to go, and I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that I took Monday off, had Tuesday off for the holiday, and this was actually my first day back to work, so yeah, I'm just messed up because of the way the week is going.
Yeah, Sean's got something similar going this week as well. He had the extended weekend because of yesterday, and then he, I think, took a personal day or whatever on Monday, and kind of like what you did. And so today was his first day back, but a little bit discombobulated this morning. He had to take care of some business on his way in, and not sure if he had his coffee. I overslept big time, and woke up to a helicopter flying over my tower. I mean, he was, like, right over my tower. And it was actually the Metro traffic copter watching an accident, 696 in DeQuinder. And I tried to get a hold of Anthony to let him know about it because I know he comes out this way. And he had just gotten through it or getting up to it, and he got off an 11-mile road here by me. And I was going to take DeQuinder out towards Troy. Sorry, I tried to help you, but I accidentally overslept. But, yeah, helicopter woke me up this morning. Second one, too, because I had one wake me up this morning at 1 a.m., helicopter flying into the hospital, you know, emergency pickup or whatever.
Wally back.
Hey, Brian, you got it on Discord.
Yep, I saw it pop up. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, push it with people. You might wipe out the tuning data.
I got tuner. I'll save a copy of the. I can save a copy of the tune with it being locked. No problem. And yeah, that's the process. You copy the tune, you push it, and then you reinstall the tune, and you should be good to go.
Good job. I love it. All right. Looking forward to hearing you on it.
Well, it might be a day. Hazel Park meeting is coming up here in about 15 minutes. I was thinking of going to that tonight. And then when I get home from that, then I'll work on it. I'll have it all programmed up by tomorrow evening.
All right, very good. All right, I got something I got to do. I am going to step out. Good luck. Don't smoke it. And I'll chat with you guys all later. W8BD.
Okay, Wally, have a good night. Pleasure talking to you as always. And Brian, I'll let you get ready to go to the meeting there in Angel Park and, you know, pick up on a few things going on over there. Me, I'm going to probably either tag on to the Pistons game, and I think the Red Wings play tonight as well, so I don't know which one I'm going to try to tap into. And that'll be my night. I got about a half a pizza left over from lunch, so I have a little bit of that tonight, save some for a midnight snack, and that'll be it for me. So, gentlemen, have a good night, and we'll all catch up with you sometime tomorrow. W8RCY. Brian, on your final. All right, thanks again, Wally. All right, I did hear you this morning saying you overslept, so, yeah. I listen on my way into work, but I don't bother to talk because it's only a mile and a half. Anyways, take it easy. I will be monitoring the Red Wings game via the cell phone to start with. 73's W8BPD, I'll be clear. I may be wrong about the Wings game. It may just be a Pistons game tonight. I thought they were both playing, but I may be wrong. W8RCY. Have a good night.
WABPD.